Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner, and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. So we are now, alhamdulillah, here in episode 3 of the 5 charity series. We have covered, alhamdulillah, all of last week, the beauty and the kind of the foundation of what it means to give in Islam, what the benefits are of giving, what the spiritual benefits are, what are the emotional benefits to a certain extent of what it's, you know, the meaning behind giving something. And, you know, we talked a lot about the idea of purifying your wealth, the idea of making your wealth something that's beautiful, something that's actually supposed to be a way that you attain paradise and not the means of you staying away from it. And so, alhamdulillah, today we have a treat. Because a part of giving, we believe in Islam, is not just the idea of giving anything, right? It's not something that, you know, oh, just take it because I don't need it anymore. The type of generosity that we're going to be alluding to today is a generosity that is extremely selfless. And what I mean by this is, in Islam, is there benefit to giving? Is there a difference of giving in Islam? Right? Are there categories of giving in Islam? For example, if it's something easy to give away, is it less rewarded than something that's difficult to give away? Those are the questions that we're going to be answering today. So the first question that I wanted to kind of share with everybody, that I want to ask everybody, is that is it easy to give something you love to charity? Why or why not? Okay, so the question, I'll rephrase it. Is it easy to give away something for the sake of sadaqah or charity of something that you love? If the answer is yes, why? Or if the answer is no, why? Okay, so is it easy to give something away in charity from something that you love? And why or why not? Okay, and this is the kind of the premise of today's conversation, that, you know, the beauty of giving from what you love, right? There are parts of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about the importance of not just giving, but giving from the things that you cherish in your own life, okay? And so we're going to start off with this beautiful hadith from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith is all about loving for other people for what you love for yourself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this hadith, he says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, none of you, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى, that none of you will have complete faith, okay? None of you will have complete faith. Now, the Prophet ﷺ didn't say, none of you who will have faith. This is not a hadith that alludes to a person's Islam being there or non-existent. It's not whether you are a Muslim or non-Muslim. Now, the Prophet ﷺ is asking, do you want to increase your faith? Right. And I think, you know, there is this notion that when it comes to this world, a lot of us want to separate ourselves from the pack, right? Whether it is in school or work or business or any sort of worldly kind of, you know, affair that we undertake, we always want to separate ourselves from the status quo. We want to stand out. We want to be the interview that shines above all the other interviews. When we take an exam, we want to make sure that our exam is way more noticeable. The answers that we put on our exam are way more noticeable, so we achieve that higher score. We want to make sure that when we volunteer or when we put our time into a certain job, we stand out. But when it comes to Islam, you know, an issue that a lot of us kind of go through, and this is, you know, something that, you know, I point the finger at myself before I even preach to other people, is that we very much settle for being average Muslims, right? You know, oh, I just want to pray. I just want to fast during Ramadan. I just want to, you know, just have la ilaha illallah in my heart, and then that's enough for me. But Islam is not just that. The Prophet ﷺ, he goes, that those of you who want to achieve complete faith, right? Complete faith, meaning that, like, you are very holistic. And, you know, when we believe in holistic, kind of like a holistic nature, It means that you are very well-rounded in everything, right? Your prayer is intact. Your relationship with Allah is intact. Your following of the tradition of the Prophet is intact. Your behavior towards your family is intact. Your behavior towards your companions and your social life is intact. You're a very giving, charitable person. And you're a very overall, you know, holistic human being. And so the Prophet, he says, لا يؤمنوا أحدكم حتى, none of you have complete faith except يحب الأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, لنفسه. None of you have complete faith until he loves for his brother or sister what he loves for himself. Okay, you don't understand the fruits of true faith until you love for other people what you love for yourself. Okay, saying that I like this and this, or I love that and that. A true Muslim who has complete faith in accordance with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will believe that you want for other people the same level of importance that you want for yourself. So if you go out and buy yourself a certain brand of something because you know it to be the best, the true kind of fruition of that principle is that you buy that same thing for somebody else when they ask for it, right? Like when you go out and you buy like sugar, you buy the best sugar possible. And when you go out and buy sugar for somebody else, you buy them like the generic brand, right? That's not what being a complete believer is. You want the same thing for somebody else that you actually hold yourself, you know, to that standard for yourself. All right. And Islam was, you know, built off of this principle of unselfishness and sincerity, right? When we give unselflessly. When we give sincerely. You know, unselfishness and sincerity have a lot to do with each other. They're very synonymous, right? When you're an unselfish person, you also have the ability to understand that I'm going to be sincere with whatever I do, okay? I will give this the same sort of energy and attention that I would if it was for myself. Okay, when it comes to like, you know, when it comes to like taking care of our own, we do a great job of it. But when it comes to taking care of other people, we oftentimes fall short. And this is a challenge, by the way, that a lot of our young Muslims will go through in this life, because this life teaches you a very different principle. This life teaches you that you got to get your own, right? You got to get your own. You got to take care of yourself. You got to go out there and just kind of, you know, it's a dog eat dog world out there. You got to make sure that you separate yourself from the pack. You got to leave people behind. You got to go and do your own thing. And as much as we believe that every human being is responsible for themselves, we believe in Islam that you not only, it's not just a, oh, live and let live. You know, this principle that we all talk about sometimes, live and let live. Islam doesn't believe in that. Islam doesn't believe in that. Islam believes that if there's a person on the side of the road that's struggling, you as a human being that has more than them, they have a right upon you. They have a right upon you that you help them. And not only do you help them in the best manner possible. You know, if you walk by a person, you know, and they're struggling in the cold, right? For example, winter time is coming up and they're struggling in the cold. Do I just give that person an old raggedy jacket that has holes in it that I used to wear 8 years ago? Or do I go out and buy that person the same quality jacket that I would wear myself? This is a very, very big philosophical question that we have to ask ourselves. And sometimes this question makes a lot of people feel uncomfortable because it teaches us a lot about ourselves. Do we just give in charity when it's convenient for us to give in charity? Or do we view charity, do we view sadaqah as a means of trying to literally bring that person up the same way that we would take care of ourselves, right? And so in this hadith specifically, none of you will have complete faith until you love for you know, a brother or sister as you love for yourself. The scholars of Islam, they actually say that this hadith, the scholars say, is equivalent to like 1/4 or 1/3 of our religion. That if a person practices this hadith, they would have successfully completed 1/4 or 1/3 of their religion, because it's such an all-encompassing hadith. This hadith also explains and lays the foundation of how we should act with believers, right? How we should act with believers. And this also, by the way, and I mentioned this a little while ago, is that this hadith does not negate iman. It does not negate your faith. It just enhances it. Saying that if you give in charity and you don't give exactly what you love, it does not make you a Muslim, but it makes you an even better Muslim. It makes you a better Muslim. It separates you from the status quo, what it means to be Muslim, right? It makes you a Muslim that is head and heels above other people in terms of the level of your faith because you're doing something so unselfish, okay? And so there is a couple of proofs in the Quran that give us the example of what it means to give from what we truly love. And one of those examples is actually in the Quran in Surah Al-Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually mentions, he in verse 92, he says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا يُحِبُّونَ. Allah says, you will never achieve righteousness until you give some of what you cherish. So Allah is saying the same thing. You know, sometimes it's beautiful. A lot of people, unfortunately, they think that, you know, it's either Quran or Sunnah. Or some people believe that like, oh, I follow the Quran and I don't follow the Sunnah, right? Because the Quran is from Allah and the Sunnah is from a man. But the reality is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, you know, when she was asked to describe her husband, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha would say that my husband is the Quran. Like he embodied the Quran. His life and everything that he did and all the rules and regulations and guidelines and principles and morals and values that he abided by, it was the Quran. So anytime that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says anything, it's always in complementary nature to the Quran. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, none of you have complete faith until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran that none of you will believe, will attain true piety unless you give out of what you love. It's like the same exact message. It's the same exact message, right? So he says, mimma tuhibbuna wa ma tunfiqu min shay'in fa inna Allaha bihi alim. Allah says, and whatever you give is certainly well known to Allah. You know, and this is a very important principle because sometimes we almost like pass off like our giving privately, right? And we don't want to show people because sometimes if we were to show people, it would actually like ruin the sincerity of our giving, right? For example, if a person gives $5, if a person's give $5 and somebody's watching them, they may actually up it to like 20. I mean, how many times has this happened, right? Like sometimes we're like, oh, you know, we thought nobody was watching us. And so we pulled out like a dollar bill. Or I'll give you even a better example. I actually read this article that was really, really interesting. You know, when you go to the grocery store, there's sometimes a situation that unfolds when like the cashier will ask you, hey, sir or ma'am, would you like to donate a dollar to like, you know, the to provide like a box of food for like, you know, the poor and the hungry during this wintertime? This article that I read was actually completely done by secular studies. It wasn't Islamic or it wasn't anything that was religiously based at all. And the study said that they did a almost like a case study of people who used to go to the grocery store. And when the cashier asked them, would you like to add a dollar to your bill to provide like a meal to a person that's homeless in the wintertime? And a lot of times when there's nobody in line behind somebody, they'll say no. They'll say no. But if there's a person like standing right behind them and the cashier asks the same question, it ends up that the statistics show that the person almost always leans towards yes. That if a person's behind them. Now, do we know if causation equals correlation or correlation equals causation? We don't know. But the reality is from that study, you understand that when people are influenced by other people around them, it may actually force them to give when if they were by themselves, they wouldn't give, right? And sometimes when you're by yourself, you sometimes give things that are easy to give away. Right? Oh, you know, you're going through your closet and you say, oh, well, this jacket, I haven't worn it for like 10 years. Oh, this shirt, I haven't worn it for like 5 years. Oh, this pair of like pants, I haven't worn it for like 6 years. It's completely like outdated and I don't even like it anymore. So we're just going to drop it off to Goodwill or we're going to drop it off to this charity box, you know, on the way to work or on the way to school or whatever it is. The harder thing to do is to actually say, hey, these pair of pants or this shirt that I just bought last week that I love, I think I'm going to give it away to somebody that I feel needs it more than I do. And at that moment, you have truly separated your nafs from, you know, your desire for yourself and your yearning for the hereafter, right? And we call this nafs al-lawama, right? Or nafs al-amara bisu'i versus a nafs al-lawama. A nafs al-amara bisu'i, you know, the nafs in Islam, we believe that yourself, your ego is separated into three stages. Nafs al-amara bisu'i, and nafs al-lawama and a nafs al-mutma'inna. And nafs al-amara bisu tells us that, oh, you should take whatever you want for yourself, right? You should basically take whatever you want for yourself. It's the nafs of the desire, the scholars, they say, a nafs al-amara bisu, that every time any sort of desire hits you, nafs al-amara bisu will teach you that you should just take it for yourself. This is your life. You got it, man. Whatever you want, go get it. Nafs al-lawama is the nafs in the middle. And a lot of scholars, Hasan al-Basri, to be specific, he actually says that nafs al-lawama, even though it's not the highest level of a nafs, it's actually the nafs of a believer. Because nafs al-lawama is always the nafs that questions. You know, could there have been something better that I could have done? Or was the decision that I made the best decision I could have made? Nafs al-lawama teaches you that, like, there's always this sense of guilt when you make a mistake. There's always this sense of, could I have done something better after you did something good, right? That's the nafs al-lawama. And your nafs al-mutma'inna is what is described by the scholars as the content nafs with Allah. That any sort of moment that you have in this life, whether it be difficult or easy, the nafs al-mutma'inna teaches us that this is the nafs in which we are displeased with Allah. So when it comes to giving, your nafs al-amara bisu tells you, you don't need to give. You don't need to give. Somebody else will give. Right? You know, you had a hard year. You couldn't save as much as you would have liked to save. So take it easy, right? Don't worry about giving. Somebody else will give. There are plenty of rich people on this earth that can give away money. Your nafs al-amara will tell you that no, you don't need to give. And even if you do give, your nafs al-amara bisu will say, oh, just give from whatever you don't need. Give from whatever you don't need, right? You don't really need that shirt anymore. You don't really need that jacket anymore. You don't really need that, like, you don't really need that, like, quilt anymore. Just give it away. It's not that big of a deal. It's kind of old. You've used it a lot these past few years. It's not as clean as it was before. It doesn't even look as good as it did before. So just give it away. What's the point? You're not going to enjoy it yourself. Your nafs al-mutma'inna and your nafs al-lawama will tell you, hey, you should give people the things that you buy for yourself. Why? Because that's how much you love giving away. That giving away is not just something you do to be pitiful. You give something because you know it's an honor of yours to give away, right? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا يُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. That you will never achieve true righteousness. You will never achieve that status of Islam until you give from what you cherish yourself. And then Allah says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ, that whatever you give is certainly well known to Allah. You know, sometimes we give away in charity and we do less because we know that people are not watching. And when people do watch, our hearts change. And actually, by the way, Allah, he refers to this in the Quran. He says, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ, right? Allah warns people in the Quran about prayer. فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. Those of you who pray, but you pray heedlessly. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. And you pray because you know people are watching you. And so your prayer is beautified. Your prayer is like even more beautiful than it would be if you were by yourself, because people are watching you. And human beings, we have this tendency at times to beautify our actions when it's under the lens of public eyes, right? When we see people watching us, we tend to beautify whatever we do. We tend to give an extra dollar. We tend to pray an extra rak'ah. We tend to, you know, we tend to raise our hand at fundraisers when people are watching us. But when you're by yourself, ask yourself, what kind of a person am I when no eyes are on me? When none of the eyes are on me, then what is my level of giving? That is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly sees what we're made of, right? Because he knows what you do when you're by yourself. That's why he says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ, that he knows certainly well of what you give. He knows certainly well of what you do, right? And so this is the principle that we have to follow. Now, very, very beautiful kind of question here is, are there examples? Are there examples of people who give from the goodness of their hearts, from the things that they love? And the answer is that there are so many, plenty of examples of this from the prophetic tradition and the tradition of his companions and the tradition of pious people. There was actually a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name was Abu Talha. His name was Abu Talha. And Abu Talha had more property than any other companion from the Ansar in Medina. Okay, so this person's name was Abu Talha, and this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had much more property than any other companion did in the city of Medina. And one of his most prized possessions, you know, everybody has like a prized possession, that one possession, it's like, it's a timeless masterpiece that no one would ever give away. Like for some people, it's like a shirt. Like no matter how old the shirt gets, I will never give it away. Some people, it's like a coffee machine, right? I will never part ways with my coffee machine. For some people, it's like sports equipment, my golf clubs, like those are mine. I have my name, my initials, like engraved on those things, right? For some people, it's like an electronic device. Like it's my laptop. My laptop is my life, right? I mean, if you people ask me like, what things can you not live without? A lot of people will say, I cannot part ways with my phone. I cannot part ways with my laptop. I cannot part ways with my TV. I cannot part ways with my iPad. I cannot part ways with my headphones. It's those things that you just really, really love for yourself. And so Abu Talha, radiallahu anh, he had this kind of prized possession in Medina. He was a man that Allah had blessed with a lot of property. And he had more property than any other companion in the city of Medina. And so he had this prized possession in the city of Medina, which was his garden. He had this garden that he loved, okay? He cherished it. He loved this garden with all of his heart. He would visit this garden all the time, take care of it, make sure that it was well maintained, and he would basically do whatever he could to sustain this garden that he had. And he noticed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pass by it sometimes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pass by this garden of Abu Talha sometimes. And when this verse came down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that none of you have true piety until you give from what you cherish, he took that verse very much to heart. He took that verse very much to heart. And you know what the beauty of you can tell of people's relationship with the Quran is? When they implement Quran from the moment that they hear it. From the moment that they hear it. You know, I remember I had a beautiful conversation with a brother that I knew a long time ago, and he was a convert to Islam. And he used to always have conversations with me about his rocky relationship with his parents. Like he used to always have like an on and off again relationship with his parents, until he read the ayah in the Quran, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. There's a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, do not worship anything except me. And then he says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and to your parents, be excellent. Okay? And he said, after he read that ayah in the Quran, he vowed to never, ever disrespect his parents ever again, no matter what heated arguments he ever got in with them. Okay? Why? He's like, because the Quran now told me I can't do that. Because before, I didn't know about it. Before, I knew there was like an importance of being kind to your parents in Islam, but now I read in the Quran, Allah says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And when I read that, now I'm accountable for that knowledge. Now that I read that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding me accountable for it. Because now I know that Allah says, and to your parents, be ihsana, be excellent, be beautiful, be of the most amazing character to your parents. And so there's a beauty to people who implement ayat from the Quran the moment that they hear it. And Abu Talha was one of these people. When he heard this verse, the Quran, in Surah Al-Imran, he goes, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, never will you attain the true reward and true piety hatta until you spend in the way of Allah from which you love. From which you love. And so he says to the Prophet, he says, no doubt that this garden is the most beloved of all of my property to me. He goes, this garden is the most beloved of all of my property to me. I have never loved anything in my life more than I love this garden, Ya Rasulullah. And he says, so I want to give it in charity in the cause of Allah. I want to give it away in charity, fi sabilillah. Because it's the most important thing to me, and I want to give it away in charity. Because I heard that Allah says that none of you will achieve true piety until you give for the sake of Allah what you love the most. So Ya Rasulullah, I want to give away this garden for the sake of Allah. And he says something very beautiful at the end of this narration. This is the end of the narration that I want everyone to focus on. And he says here, O Messenger of Allah, I expect its reward and compensation from Allah. I expect its reward and compensation from Allah. I don't expect its reward and compensation from you. I don't expect its reward and compensation from people. I don't expect its reward and compensation from my neighbors. I expect the reward, the ajr, from Allah. Because that's what I look forward to when I give. Because giving is not an investment. You know, a lot of people, unfortunately, we view giving as like, okay, can I like put, you know, can I write it off on my taxes? You know, can I get some sort of kind of tax benefits from this if I give in charity? You know, can I, can I, you know, look forward to having my say in, you know, a project if I donate towards it, right? If I donate towards something, can I be a part of the board that dictates the decisions that go behind this project? That's not the, you know, if that's the premise behind our charity, then we're not, you know, people don't need our charity. You know, it's very important to understand this. And I've seen this, you know, unfortunately, subhanAllah, so often that people only give because they want a say in it. I'm going to give towards this masjid because I want to be a part of the board of trustees. I want to be a part of the board that makes decisions. Man, if that's the way that we think, that I will only give if I have a say in it, then your charity is actually not sadaqah. It's actually an investment. Call it something different. It's an investment. Because charity is not an investment. Charity is not something that you benefit from in this world. Charity is something you benefit from Allah directly, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you directly. There was a very, very beautiful example of this in the city of Medina. Okay, and this is the last example that we'll mention, that we'll give some tips to finish off today's session. One of the most beautiful examples of selfless giving was actually founded within the tradition of the Ansar. And the Ansar, for those of you who do not know, were the people that lived in Medina before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions moved there from Mecca. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved their charity and their selflessness so much that he actually revealed an ayah for the people of Medina in Surah Al-Hashr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr, he actually says that as for those who had settled in the city and embraced the faith before the arrival of the immigrants, before the muhajirun, they love whoever immigrates to them, never having a desire in their hearts for whatever the gains is given to the immigrants. They give the muhajirun preference over themselves, even though they may be in need. That is one of the most beautiful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ever said about the Ansar. That the Ansar, the people in Medina, when the people from Mecca came and migrated to the city of Medina, the people of Medina gave up their homes. The people of Medina gave up their belongings. The people in Medina gave up their time, their energy. For what? Just for the sake of Allah. They didn't seek anything back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. That they gave the immigrants preference over themselves, even though they may be in poverty. Even though they may be in need, they gave the muhajirun preference over themselves. They gave them their homes. They gave them everything. وَمَنْ يُقَى شُحَى نَفْسِهِ. Okay, وَمَنْ يُقَى شُحَى نَفْسِهِ. Okay, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And those are the people that are truly successful. Because they have mastered their nafs. They've mastered their egos. They don't worry about what they have. They worry about, does somebody else have what they need? And that's when the nafs has truly been conquered. And the people of Medina, the Ansar, and this is, by the way, why they were called the Ansar. The Ansar were called the Ansar because the Ansar are people who are called helpers. They help. They help. They give whatever they have in their life, and they don't worry about, hey, is it going to cut into my own funds? They give away because they know the value of giving away. And this is why, by the way, if you want the proof of the reward for those who give unselflessly, the Prophet ﷺ, he said about the Ansar that if the entire world decided to take one route through the mountains and the Ansar would take another route, I would follow my Ansar. That is the reward of the people who are selfless. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go with you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be with you. And so to end, what are some of the tips that we can share that will help us understand this principle of giving from what we love? Number one, the first tip is clarify your intentions. Why are you giving? Why are you giving? Are you giving to impress other people? الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. Are you giving so other people can say, MashaAllah, that person's so generous? Are you giving because you want to feel better about yourself? Or are you giving because you sincerely want to gain reward from Allah, right? Intention is everything. A'malu bin niyyah is everything. Because intention will therefore dictate how beautiful your giving actually is. So first and foremost, ask yourself, why are you giving? Number two is the harder that it is to give, the more reward it is. If you have ever asked yourself, or have you ever felt to yourself that detaching yourself from like a material good that you have is difficult, you know that there's a great reward in giving that away. You know there's a great reward in giving that away, right? If you ever have difficulty in separating yourself from something that you love, you always know that the reward for giving that thing up for the sake of Allah is going to be one of the most rewarded things in your life. If you have something you really love in terms of material wealth in this life and you end up parting ways with it for the sake of Allah, man, that reward is unbelievable. So number two is the harder it is to give, the more rewardable it is. And the last but not least is that giving is not an investment. That we do not look at sadaqah as transaction. Sadaqah or giving is not transactional. What am I going to get out of it? You know, sometimes the most beautiful people, the most beautiful examples of giving that I have ever seen in my life have been people who did not directly benefit from their giving. People who did not directly benefit from their giving. Like, oh, I'm going to give to this because I want to get some benefit from it. Those are not people that are the people who truly, truly benefit from their sadaqah. The people who truly benefit from their sadaqah are the people who say, my reward lies with Allah. And that is what I look forward to. I don't look forward to getting a tax cut. I don't look forward to getting, you know, my say in the decision making once I have given. I don't look forward to dictating whatever this and that is now that I've invested. My reward is with Allah. I trust you to take care of it. So I'm giving you selflessly. And this is the principle of giving from what we love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people who give from what we love and not only give from what is easy for us to give away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who have conquered our nafs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the people who find the reward with Allah more pleasing than the reward that we have in this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hands sincere when we give, that when our left hand gives, our right hand does not even know about it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so that our giving is a means of purifying our wealth, that when we give, our wealth that we possess still is purified because of the selfless nature of when we gave sadaqah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make each and every single one of us closer to Him in our faith, in our spirituality, in our love, in our understanding, in our appreciation, in our devotion for Him as our Rabb. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to fall in love with the example of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. If any of you guys are asking about if these are going to be recorded, so these are basically recorded in two formats. So number one, it will be recorded and kept on the IGTV live tab under the Roots DFW Instagram account, and also on the videos tab under the Facebook account as well. But also, if you're just looking for like a quick listen without even looking at your phone or looking at your laptop or anything like that, this entire series, the five series that I've been able to, that Allah has given me the honor of teaching and reflecting over, this entire series is actually on the Qalam podcast. So if you go to the Qalam podcast website, I believe you can just type in the Qalam podcast on Google, and you'll find an entire series of podcasts by, you know, Mufti Kamani, Sheikh Abdul Nasser Jangda, Sheikh Mikhail Smith, all of our instructors at Qalam, you will be able to find this podcast on that list of podcasts. So inshallah, if anybody wants to take a listen to it in the car, or if you want to take a listen to it on the way to work or on the way to school or whatever it is, these episodes will be broken down episode by episode, 20, 30 minutes or so. Every single one of them, inshallah, should be uploaded up until the last couple of weeks, inshallah. All right, guys. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you so much for attending. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday for our next episode. It will be episode 4. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.